Well, it's been said that a man who earns money is an ambitious man. It's been said that a man who spends money is a well-furnished man. It's been said that a man who saves money is a prepared man. And it's been said that a man who gives money is a blessed man. And throughout the message this morning and throughout what I want to share with you tonight, my intent to you is to try to say to you, I want to be that blessed man. Not blessed in the sense that who I am or what I have, but blessed in the sense that God smiles upon me, that God smiles upon you, that God smiles upon us with His blessing, which is the ultimate blessing that we could have. And so tonight I continue in my teaching series about habits, these small disciplines that we have that yield these large results. And sometimes, just like the dominoes here, it's just one little time, one little domino, day after day after day after day after day, that eventually over time is going to knock down that bigger domino, that knocks down a bigger domino, that ultimately knocks down the big domino in which we're able to accomplish much. And so tonight, I want you to take your Bibles, please, and go with me to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to go back there to Malachi and his writings to us. And as we go back there, I'm asking you the question that I asked this morning. And the question simply is this: what will you give next Sunday? What are you going to give next Sunday? And we're talking about this subject of tithing and the importance of it. And so just by way of quick review, this morning I said to you that the Bible teaches us that the use of money is related to the principle of stewardship, that God owns everything. We are stewards. We're managers of that, and we're to give an account of what God has given to us, and we're to manage those blessings that we have each and every day of our life. Now, the Bible tells us the instruction about money begins really in the Old Testament with that of the tithe. And as we understand the tithe, this is the priority of God. This is how God used this method, in a sense, to prove His power and His blessings. But it was also used as a tool for providing the funding for ministry, and how important that certainly is. Now, and then we also talked about in the New Testament where Paul talks about grace giving, and he talks about that we're under grace now. We're not necessarily just under the law, and the tithe really is just a beginning mark. It's just a beginning amount that as God has blessed us with so much, then we ought to want to give even more back to the Lord and more to be used for God's glory. And so he says to us that we are to give, and we're to give in a certain way. We're to give cheerfully. We're to give graciously. We're to give globally. We're to give faithfully. We're to give sacrificially. And so as he tells us that, then when we give back to the Lord, we're to give in that kind of manner, to have that kind of an attitude. But tonight, as I did this morning, I want to preach to you in a very personal manner that's going to be very true to what Scripture teaches us, to help us to understand in a sense of why I believe it's important and reasons why that I tithe, Paula and I, our family, why we tithe on a regular basis, on a consistent basis, and how important that is in our lives. We have our Bibles open in Malachi chapter 3, and just the background for just a moment, we'll start in verse 6 down through verse 12, that paragraph that's in the middle of the text. But Malachi was charged by God to give a message to the people. And as I said to you this morning, the nation of Israel had a bad habit. Their bad habit was they continually disobeyed God. They were on the mountaintop in one moment, and they were down in the valley in the next, and they were disobedient, and they were fleshly, and they were selfish in a sense of wanting things and not really wanting things for themselves and not really trusting God each and every day and each and every step of their journey. And so Malachi was charged with telling the people to stop their disobedience, to repent, to return to God, to start living right. So instead of listening to the man of God and heeding his warning from God, they began to question. They began to ask questions and again, kind of probably murmur and complain and be critical with him. But Malachi kept exactly what his job was. And he said, listen, he said, in this particular part of his message, he says, you need to bring the tithes and the offerings back to God and to give those tithes and offerings to God because they are rightfully His. And so he didn't beat around the bush. He didn't back down. He didn't try to argue with them. He said, listen, bring the tithes and the offerings back to the Lord. They are rightfully his, and you're robbing God because of it. But also he said, listen, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of blessings, and we'll talk about that tonight. But he also said, you're robbing other people and the blessing that you could be to other people as well. And so as Malachi is trying to help them to understand what they're doing in their relationship with God, they're doing in their relationship with themselves, and what they're doing in relationship with others, they should have been listening. And I wonder tonight, could that be said about us? That perhaps we're kind of living our life and we're earning money and we're spending money and we're trying to save a little money and we've got a little extra, we'll give a little money. But is it a sense that we're robbing God, that we're robbing God of what is rightfully His? We're robbing ourselves of blessing and protection. We're robbing others of the influence that we could have in their lives and the gospel ministry going out. I just wonder if we're robbing God ourselves. So thus the question, what will you give next Sunday? And so some reasons why that I tithe, and I think that it's important according to the text. I said to you this morning that the number one reason of why I tithe is because I want to be true to God's Word. I want to be true to what God's Word teaches us. I said to you secondly that the second reason that I tithe is because if I don't, Scripture says that I'm robbing God. As I said to you from Dr. Tony Evans, robbing God is like, stealing from the police station. It's not a good idea, okay? And we know that Scripture teaches us. And so Scripture teaches us that we're to be obedient to God's Word, that if we're robbing God, if I'm not tithing, I'm robbing God. But the third reason I shared with you this morning is that the third reason that I tithe is simply because I trust God. I trust God to be able to provide for me, to provide for my needs, to provide for other people's needs. And I'm taking that phrasing that he used. He said, put me to the test. And I'm not just questioning God or challenging God or taking a challenge from Him. I'm simply taking God at His word that He will not only be able to be true to His word, but He'll be able to provide for my needs. And to be honest with you, He just provides for my wants too. And I know I'm not the only one there. And so as I do that, I begin to also understand that there's other reasons found in this text here that helps us to understand why it's important for us to tithe. So reason number four tonight of why I tithe. I tithe because I want God's blessing and not cursing. I want God's blessing and not cursing. Let's go back to the text for just a moment, and let's begin reading in verse number 9. Malachi says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then in verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, again, says the Lord of hosts. Well, I think the very simplistic thought that comes from reading those verses is that if there's no tithe coming, there's a cursing. If there's a tithe coming, then there's a blessing. Now, I don't think you have to have a PhD in theology to understand that if you're not doing what God asks you to do, there's going to be a curse. But if you are doing what God wants you to do, there's going to be a blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose this side. I want to choose the blessing. I don't want the cursing. I don't want anything negative coming back from God, because truthfully, I don't want to be disobedient to who God is and what God instructs for us to do. If you notice the text there in those verses, there's three specific blessings that are noted. The first one, he says that the windows of heaven are opened. Now, when you think about a window, it's not just merely something that allows light to be able to come into a room, but a window also allows those that are inside to be able to see outside and be able to experience things. Now, if we're looking at the back wall here, or even we're looking at this wall, or we're looking at this wall here, there are no windows. There's no light that's coming in. But at the same time, we also cannot see what's on the outside. And so windows enable us to be able to see things that we ordinarily would not be able to see, and to be able to see things that we wouldn't ordinarily be able to experience. Now, again, I want to see all that God wants to show me. I want to experience all that God wants to allow me to be able to experience. I want to see the greatness of God. I want to experience the greatness of God. And God says, listen, not only will I give you just the financial blessings, which, by the way, that's really what we're looking for, if we're to be honest, but he says, no, much greater than that. I want you to be able to see the things that I have created and see the beauty that I have given to you and see how powerful that I am. And I want you to experience those things. I want you to be able to have those things in your life and know my grace and know my forgiveness and know my strength. Then he says, as I'm opening these windows of heaven, I'm giving you a glimpse of heaven here on earth. And that is a wonderful blessing that I think we neglect sometimes, even as Christians. And so he says to us, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, and tithers, I believe, have a right to see and experience things from God that others do not receive. I just believe that. I believe that from this, those that tithe are able to see things from God that others are not able to be able to see because they're not tithing. That's what the scripture says. And so do I want those windows of heaven open in my life? Absolutely I do. But there's another blessing that comes. It's the blessings of God giving. The blessings of God giving. I think there's a principle that's taught throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And the principle simply says that God blesses those who honor Him. Honestly, God blesses those who honor Him. You can go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelation, and what do you find? God honors those, blesses those who honor Him. I think we even see it in our society today. Now, is the Chick-fil-A sandwich a good sandwich? You know, it's pretty good, isn't it? But you might say, well, I've had better chicken sandwiches. I know some of you might be throwing some things at me right now. But I've had a good chicken sandwich. You know, the waffle fries, or if you don't eat them in 2 minutes, well, they're just not very good, you know. The soup is, you know, I'm going somewhere, so I'm being picky for a second. The tortilla soup's pretty good, but the chicken noodle soup's, it needs some extra, you know. And there's not a wide variety of food on the line, or on the offering line. But have you ever been to this Chick-fil-A at 12:30 during the week? And they've got like 2 and 3 lines going, and they're getting you through just as quick as you possibly can, just like that. You know, and by the way, they're closed one day of the week. They're closed on Sunday. You're thinking, how in the world can a retail business in our world today survive when you're not open 7 days a week? And especially on the weekend. How in the world? Well, if you know the story of S. Truett Cathy, then you understand it is an organization that was built on honoring the Lord. It was a Christian organization. You know, if you're listening among the loudness that's happening in Chick-fil-A and the kids playing in the playground and everybody just having a great time, you'll hear Christian music that's being played. And so as you hear those things, here you see a real organization in our country today that has at its core the idea of really honoring the Lord. And again, the last time I checked, Chick-fil-A was doing pretty good for itself. Well, what does that principle tell us? It's the principle that God teaches us in His Word, is that I'm going to bless those who honor me. I'm going to bless those who honor me. Well, I want God's blessings. I want to honor Him. And when we tithe, we're honoring Him. As I said this morning, does God need our money? No, He doesn't. But when we give back to Him as His Word instructs us to give, then what we're doing is we're simply pleasing Him, just like as Christy testified earlier. And by the way, I was wondering if you were really talking about Eliza or Greg there for just a second. But, you know, when a child is truly obedient, how much pride does that bring to the parent? When a child truly is obedient, how much joy does that bring to the parent? When a child truly is obedient, how much more love does a parent have for that child? You understand that? Because it pleases us as parents. That's the same thing tithing does. That's the same thing giving back to the Lord does, and how important for us is to be able to do it. And then there's a third blessing that comes in the scripture, if you'll notice there. The devourer is rebuked. Now, in the sense of this text here, part of the offerings, part of the tithe that was given from this principle of first fruits, that it wasn't just money that was given back to the church or given back to the Lord or given to the temple there, but a lot of times people gave grain or they gave fruit. They literally gave of their first fruits. And if you ever have the opportunity to be able to travel overseas in a missions trip, and especially if you go in the fall of the year, that the harvest time is a very big deal to them. It is a very huge service in the fall of the year because people are bringing the harvest of their fruit and harvest of their vegetables, and they're bringing literally their harvest to the Lord and laying it there at the church, and they're giving their best because they're tithing. God, you've blessed me with this yield, and I'm giving you the first fruits, the best of what I have, and saying, thank you. I have a grateful heart. Thank you for providing the sustenance and the nourishment for my family. Thank you for doing so. And so the idea is, if those there was storehouses that they kept there at the temple to be able to store the grain or be able to store the fruit to be able to be used later. And if the insects got in, if the bugs got in, as we would say, then what could happen to that grain? What could happen to those fruits? What could happen to those vegetables that were brought in there? Well, certainly the insects and the bugs could destroy that. And so as God says to us, he says, listen, he says, even in the sense of bugs and insects, he says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer so that the grain, so that the fruits and the vegetables, they're able to stay pure and good and useful. I don't know about you, but sometimes the devil just absolutely beats me to death. And he just bothers me. And he gets in my mind. And he causes me to worry. It causes me to worry. And he causes me to think things that I ought not to be thinking. And sometimes I feel like I'm just beat down and beat down and beat down. I believe that as we tithe and as we are obedient to God's word, just as God was able to take those insects and take those bugs and keep those things pure that were important to the work of the ministry, I believe that God is also able to take the devil and move him to the side so that we can have a pure thought, that we can have pure motives, that we can have a joy and a happiness in our service to the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we're to be sober-minded, to be watchful, because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The middle picture that I get here, and this is just my theology in a sense, is some of you have seen the professional bull riding. And it's a very dangerous sport, and if you've ever actually gone to the arena and watched it, you can't get enough of it. I mean, it's infectious when you're there seeing those guys try to ride those massive beasts for 8 seconds, you know? And some people just go for the clowns, and that's a dangerous job as well. But you know, that chute that the bull is in, I mean, that bull is there, and man, he's ready to get out. I mean, he didn't like to be caged in. He didn't like to be held there. He didn't like for someone to have the reins and have a hold on him and causing him to stay right there. Because just as soon as that gate is open, what does that bull do? It goes out and it's kicking and bucking and trying to throw off anybody that he possibly can. Sometimes I feel like that's my life. I'm trying to ride the bull and I'm thrown off here and I'm thrown off there. But you know what I find? It's when I'm obedient to God and I'm truly worshiping him and I have a grateful heart and I'm giving him the first and the best of my life. You know what he does? He keeps the devil over here and he keeps the gate shut. And it don't matter what that devil, what that bull tries to do, God's on top of him. And what the devil is doing, he's on top of him and he's not going to let him go. And he's trying to get out and he's beating up against the gate, but he's not going anywhere. You know why? Because I tithe. Pastor, that sounds kind of strange. That's what the scripture says. Because I tithe. That God says, listen, I'll keep the devourer. I'll keep those things away from you that are going to be harmful to you. I'll do that very thing. A man came to his pastor and he says, Pastor, he said, I've got a problem with my tithe. He said, back a number of years ago when I was just a sales associate making about $400 a week, he said, Pastor, it was no problem at all for me. Every single week, I got paid every week to put $40 on the offering plate. It wasn't a big deal. The pastor, you know, over these recent years that God's been very good to me, and I've been able to kind of go up the corporate ladder, and I've had some success. And pastor, you know, the job that I have now, and really, pastor, I make a lot more money than I've ever made in my life, and I make a lot of money. And pastor, I'm gonna be honest with you, the tithe that's required now from all the money that I make, I'm just having a difficult time trying to give that up on a regular basis. Pastor, could you help me with that? So the pastor says, absolutely, I'll be glad to help you with that. And he said, Bill, he said, I appreciate your candidness with me. I appreciate you being honest with me about really a need in your life. And so let's pray about it. So there in the pastor's office, the pastor began to bow his head, and Bill began to bow his head, and he says, Lord, pastor said, Lord, Bill here, he's come open and honest, and Bill has a problem tithing. And pastor, you know, years ago when he didn't make a lot of money, he had no problem tithing, but now he's making a lot of money, he's having a problem with it. So pastor, Lord, I pray today as his pastor that may you reverse his financial blessings. May you bring him back down to $400 a week so that he has no problem with his tithe whatsoever. Amen. Obviously, when they got through praying, Bill, he had a little different interpretation. He says, pastor, he says, I don't think I'll have a problem with tithing anymore. Thank you so much for your help today. Isn't it kind of amazing? And that's kind of a humorous little story. But isn't it amazing that sometimes God can turn some things around in our life to get us back to where we really ought to be to start with? Sometimes we get a little too big. Sometimes we allow things to get a little too hectic, and things get a little overgrown in our lives. Sometimes God may put us flat on our back. Sometimes God may allow something very unusual in our life to happen. Sometimes God, in a still, small voice, can speak to us and say, hey, you got it all wrong. I can gladly reverse some things in your life. I can gladly take some things away. But you need to start getting back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. I tithe because I want God's blessing and not God's cursing. I want to hurry on tonight, and reason number five that I tithe is because I want to be a testimony that God can use. I want to tithe because I want to be a testimony that God can use. We read those verses there, verse 10, 11, and 12. Let's just read those real quick again because they really set up verse 12. And so as you go back to verse 10, he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down a blessing upon you until there is no more need, I'll rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then verse 12, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the remnant there of Judah, the remnant that returned to Judah after the exile, they had a great opportunity to trust God. They had a great opportunity to bear witness even to the Gentile nations that God is the true and the living God. And they would be able to see that God is a true and living God by the way that God had blessed them and the way that they had been obedient to serve the Lord and obedient to do His will. Now, had the Jews trusted the Lord, I believe that as God promised that He would have done great things for them. He would have done great things in them and through them for His honor and glory. And they would have had a testimony to others. And that great testimony would have drawn people to God, would have drawn people to live for God. But unfortunately, that's not what the Jews were doing. As it was, they floundered in their faith, and certainly nobody could look at them and call them blessed. I want you to take your Bibles for just a moment, and I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want to read just a little bit of a lengthy text because I want you to understand something. We'll go back to verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and as you take God's Bible or take God's Word and open your Bible there, Moses is speaking here to the nation, and he's telling them, listen, these are God's promises to you. These are the blessings that are going to come to you as the result of you basically just being obedient to God. And I want you to listen exactly what the Scriptures teach us in these first 14 verses. Moses says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of His commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed, he says, shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 7. The Lord will cause enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to Himself, as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after the gods, the other gods, to be able to serve them. What is he saying? These are the promises of God. Now, if God says to us these promises in relation to 2019, how many of us would sign up to say, I want those, I'll take those, no problem at all. God, you're going to provide for me. God, you're going to protect me. God, you're going to give me power. God, you're going to give me posterity even in among the people that are around me. Hey, sign me up. I want that. But what was the requirement? If you obey the commands that I give you today and to walk in the ways of God. That's what it was. Now let's fast forward to Malachi chapter 3. Why was Malachi on the scene? Why was Malachi delivering this message? Why am I preaching this message tonight? Because the people of God were not yielding to what God's commands were. They were not tithing. They were not bringing into the storehouse. They were not being blessed because they were not being obedient. And I'm afraid many times we, as Christian people today, we're not seeing the power of God move. We're not seeing the blessings of God upon us. We're not having the influence that we can have among those that we work with and those in our family and those in our community and those in our city. We're not having the kind of influence that we need to have. Why? Because we're not being obedient to walk in the ways of God, and specifically in this area of tithing. I want to tithe. I want to tithe because I want to make sure that God can use my life as a testimony. I want to be that conduit Christian that God is able to work in me and through me, not the cul-de-sac Christian that takes in all the blessings of God and keeps them all to me. I want God to use me, and I want God to use you, and I want God to use our families, and I want God to use our church so that people in our community wonder, hey, what's going on with that group of people? Hey, there's something special about that Gateway Church. There's something special about those Christians that go there. There's something special. God has His hand upon them. God is blessing them. God is using them in this community. And I want to know what's going on. Not to add to the numbers of Gateway, but for you and I to be able to take them in, and even as Andrew did tonight, and using his talents and abilities, and point them straight to Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what we're trying to do. And it all comes from the ability to be able to tithe. One last thing I share with you tonight is that I want to tithe because I desire my treasure to be where my heart is. I desire my treasure to be where my heart is. Now, this is the only part that's not in the text in Malachi, but I go to Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus says this in verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Paul and I try to budget the very best that we possibly can. And some of you have been through Financial Peace University. Some of you have been around for a number of years. Remember Larry Burkett and some of his financial instructions that he gave. And Dave Ramsey has been one of the most popular ones of recent years. And as we've set up our budget, the very first item, the very first section of our budget is basically tithes and missions. That's what it is. That's the first section of our budget. The very first thing that happens, and the very best of my ability, and I try to do this on a regular basis, and sometimes I get busy and I don't do it, but just as the very first thing, when I get paid, and when money goes into my account, the very first bill, the very first money that goes out of my account, I try to make sure that it comes to the church. I try to make sure it comes back to the Lord. Before I run to Chick-fil-A and eat, before I put gas in the car, before I do anything else, I try to make sure that the first fruits that come in and the first thing that go out is money to the church and money to missions. You say, well, why would you call it an expense? Why would you call it part of your budget? I thought you said this is about worship. I like what one writer said. He said this. He says, there are a lot of creditors who want a piece of me in my paycheck. He said, there are all sorts of other concerns that compete for my attention and my money. But I write out my check to the church first before I pay anything else. It is my way of saying that I belong to God before anybody else can get a piece of me. I don't have to tell you tonight that we have bills, and we have ever-increasing bills. Sometimes Paula comes home and she comes back from the grocery store, and you know, before I find out all the great food that she's brought in to be able to cook and prepare, you know, being the man of the house, what I want to know, how much she spend? You know, and she tells me how much she spends, and immediately I go, what? And then immediately she says, well, you do the grocery shopping next time. I said, that's just fine, no problem. So you all understand, we all understand, we have expenses and we have bills, and you got kids, you got bills, you know. You got kids and you got teenagers and you got college students and you got grown adult kids and you still got bills, you know. They just happen, don't they? We all know that. But when we give first, when we're giving back to the Lord and we're consistent in our tithing, it says to the Lord, Lord, you've given me treasure, but my treasure really has nothing to do except of where my heart is. And my heart's always with you first. And my heart's always with you. My heart's always about you. And Lord, no matter what bills may come my way and what income I might have or might not have, Lord, I want to do my very best to honor you. And I give and I tithe because I simply want to make sure that my treasure is where my heart is. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so tithing shows a heart that is dedicated to the Lord. I believe that tithing says that we appreciate God's blessings. And I believe that tithing enables us to continue our focus on the eternal, not just the temporal of the day, but the eternal. And all of those reasons that I shared with you this morning and I share with you tonight, it's just plain and simple reasons that I try to tithe. I try to be consistent in my giving. I try to be giving in the sense of offerings and special offerings that come. Again, have I always been perfect in that? Unfortunately, no. But I try to be consistent. I try to be faithful. And I try to do my part as God has blessed me and enabled me to do so. What's God asking from all of us tonight? He's asking us to do our part, to take the blessings that He's given to us, allow us to keep 9/10, to give Him 1/10 back, to make sure that He is first place, to make sure that He is our treasure, that our heart is His heart, and that we're obedient to His will. I said this to you this morning about the hand and the heart, or the head and the heart, that whatever the hands do is related to the head. The head's telling the hands what to do, and what tells the head what to do is going to come from the heart. And so if the hands aren't doing the right thing, that's because the head is not knowledgeable of what to do and is not giving instructions on what is right, and that's because the heart is not right. And so it really is not a matter of I can afford to or I can't afford to. It's really not a matter of I'm a little undisciplined over here or I really don't have enough money that's coming in there. It really kind of comes back to the heart of the issue. And I understand that there are times that we have bills that are that we don't know about. And there are times that there are layoffs and even government shutdowns, unfortunately. And there are times that our job changes and our position changes. And I understand that. But I'm getting to the point of saying, do you tithe at all? Do you give in that 10%? Do you give above that 10%? Because if you're not, and you're not doing it, and you've got a little bit of a rebellious spirit against it, it's really a matter of the heart. And that's where I believe that it all starts. Again, James chapter 4, verse 17, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It's been said that there's three kinds of givers: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. So to get anything out of the flint, you got to hammer it. And when you hammer it, the only thing you get are chips and sparks. To get water out of the sponge, you got to squeeze it. You got to squeeze it tight to be able to get any water out of it. And the more you squeeze it, the more you get. But the honeycomb's different. It simply just overflows with sweetness. It just overflows with sweetness. I believe that God wants us to be honeycomb givers. I don't think that He wants, you know, Malachi or me or any other pastor to keep and hammering and hammering and hammering and hope I get a little here and a little response here, and God gets a little response there, and the church gets a little response there. I don't believe He wants Malachi or me or any other pastor to keep squeezing you and squeezing you and squeezing you and preaching about money and money and money. I don't think He wants that at all. I think He wants us to have a heart that loves Him, a heart that wants to be obedient to Him, and a heart that says, God, this is what Your Word says, and to the very best of my ability, I do exactly what Your Word says, and I trust You to provide for me and to protect me and to help me in every area of my life, and for me to be as disciplined as I possibly can be, because I want my life to just flow with sweetness of giving, and giving cheerfully, and giving faithfully, and giving sacrificially, and giving generously, and giving globally. I don't want to just pay attention to the law in a sense and the tithe. Lord, I want to give out of grace because of all that You've given to me. I gladly give back to You. And so tonight, I don't know where you are when it comes to tithing. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're able to do in the sense of what your income is and what you actually give. But I hope that you tithe. I hope that you share what God has given to you, and I hope you're just being obedient to God's Word. And some of you tonight may have gotten out of the habit. Get back into the habit. Some of you may never have started. You just give occasionally. Start giving consistently every time you get paid. 10% out of your gross, that's a significant amount of money. But God says, hey, trust me. Put me to the test and see if I'll not take care of you and give you even more than what you want. But you got to take that step of faith. We have to be obedient. And so what are you going to do next Sunday? I hope you're going to tithe. But as I ended the service this morning, I say to us that the month of February, we're designated as an all-tithe month. I want you to put God to the test. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be obedient to God's Word. And I want you to tithe in the month of February. Every time you get paid, every time income comes into you, I want you to tithe. And I want you to I'll just show you what can happen when we all tithe. I'm going to just show you what God can do with your blessings. And even after the service this morning, I had somebody come to me and said, Pastor, I want to share with you a real true story about tithing. And I'll share with you a little bit later of just what God did in this individual's life, just the simple fact that he tithed, and then what God did later. It's an awesome story. By the way, that's not just for one person or for me. That's for everybody. And so we want to do our part. And so tonight, my invitation, my challenge to you is simply this. Go and do it. Just go do it. Tithe. Tithe, because it's important. So tonight, let's bow our heads in prayer together.